depressed by it. Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you. Commitment to Christ is going to set you free from sin and self. It's not going to burden you and weigh you down to follow him. Can you say amen? I hope I do not come over as a man under some heavy burden as a Christian. I come here in the lightness and the love and the genuineness of faith in following Jesus. There's no better life in all of the world than following Jesus Christ. How do you know? Because I've been on the other side. How many were lost before you got saved? How many can honestly say this is the best life there is to live is following Jesus? Can you say amen? Make no mistake about it. This is the better life. The way of the transgressor is hard, but he said, come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden. Your practice of your religion is a burden to you. It's oppressive. It weighs you down. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Make a real commitment to me to follow me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in spirit. And what happens? And you will find rest for your soul. That tension is not just between you and the world. The tension is not just between the flesh and the spirit. If we're not really following Jesus in a devotion, that tension is between us and God. God wants you to follow him for one reason, because you love him. Same way he wants you to give this morning. We're segueing into the offering. Amen. He doesn't want to give out of necessity. You're not paying dues today. But willingly. For the Lord loves a cheerful giver. He wants it to come from the heart. If it's not from the heart, it isn't meaningful to him, even though it's the right thing. And I always say this because I heard a preacher say it and I never forgot it. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, but he will receive from a grouch. Can you say that? He will receive, but you won't receive the blessing for your giving unless it's coming from the heart. But if it comes from the heart, it is translated literally. It's transformed. That's the word I'm looking for. It's transformed into more than just a monetary material offering. It's transformed into a spiritual sacrifice acceptable unto Jesus, unto God by Jesus Christ. Amen. It becomes something that comes up before God as a sacrifice before him that he accepts. Praise God. Because it's a pretty good barometer of where our heart is. Your checkbook is actually in my checkbook, our checkbooks, if you have a checkbook. Amen. Mine is no big deal, so I can keep track of my bills. Most of them are now paid electronically, but everybody say gravy through a goose. That's how my bank account is. We put it in, we write out our bills. Everybody say it again, gravy through a goose. Well, while the gravy is going through the goose, don't forget God. Yeah, I know she made a face. I don't blame you. That's a bad thought, isn't it? Amen. I had a duck like that, and he made an awful mess. He was a pet for a long time, but we finally had to let him fly away. Amen. We couldn't keep cleaning the carport off. Amen. But God, you know, all of us have financial needs. But I got to give to the Lord, because if we don't give him so he can bless us, then we really are in trouble with the prices the way they are. But God is a God that keeps his covenant and his word, and we bless him for that. And I bless you for giving. It's more meaningful to me when you give. We've had checks written for thousands of dollars to this ministry down through the years by people who never felt it. They never did without anything that they wanted to indulge in to do that. They never felt it. But most people in this room, you feel it. Because you're if you are that kind of rich, you're keeping it a good secret. Can you say amen? And I am too. Hallelujah. If I became a millionaire overnight and retired, which I wouldn't unless the Lord let me, but I'd have to move away, change my name. My family would hunt me down like a bunch of dogs after a rabbit. Amen. You can run, but you can't hide. Can you say amen? They hunting me now for toilet paper and paper towels. Anyway, God is good. He's still good. People spend, you know, when everybody's on this monthly thing now, you know, when the eagle flies once a month, people forget at the first of the month that you may need things like toilet paper, and that may not seem like a big deal till you run out. All of a sudden, it's very important. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So, yeah. 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 That's right. We got the storehouse, praise God. And God is good. You know what I'm saying today. Just sanctify him. He's already saved. Just sanctify him. Praise God. Amen. What I'm saying in the seriousness of it is that gifts from people like us, all of us here today, mean more to God than gifts from people who give and never feel it. That's why when the woman came, all she had left, she was a widow. She had children. She had 2 pence. And she came and she dropped it in. And Jesus was watching. This is amazing what's happening right now. Jesus was watching when they came to the temple to give, to not see what they gave. Scripture said, but to see how they gave, whether it was from the heart, whether it was really meaningful to God. And he stopped everything. I went to a church one time that I'd been in between churches before I started ministering, and my tithe had kind of accumulated. I hadn't sent it anywhere. And in that morning, I gave, you know, and it was like four weeks all at once. And suddenly I became popular with the pastor. I mean, he came down after church. When we came in, it wasn't no big deal. But after church, when I guess he somehow knew what we had given, he ran up and asked to take me to lunch. So we don't look to do that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But God does how we give. And he said, this woman has given more than anyone today because out of her penury is that old word that meant out of her own need, she's given all that she had to give. And God said, that is the greater gift. I've been in meetings where angels are coming to bless the $50 gifts. And there's something special with God about the $1,000. Well, of course. No, not with God. It might be with that preacher, but it has nothing to do with God. God is not looking what you give, but how you give. And if you give your best from the heart, God is going to bless it, amen, more than a millionaire that wrote a $100,000 tithe and never felt it or sacrificed it all to give it. Can you say amen? Isn't that good to know about the Lord today? Hallelujah. So I'm asking God to bless you. I pray for each one of you individually and personally that are part of this fellowship, and others too that have asked for prayer. And when we do that, the last thing I pray for, but it's not the least thing. It's not that it's not important. I pray for your spirit, pray for things you can't buy with money. Amen. And your soul, and I pray for your body and your healing and your health. And then I pray for your finances and ours, because we all need his help in this area, in this particularly now. And God is up to the task to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's a blesser. Hallelujah. We thank you for your giving. I'm going to ask Brother Willie to ask the blessing on gift and giver as we receive this offering for God's work. What a reason and incentive to give, Brother Willie. Amen. We have a song that's become a prophetic song for what God is doing in here in us right now. And we're going to play it this morning as we receive the offering and get ready for some of the word and Holy Communion. Praise God. I feel a stirring in the atmosphere. There's something free about our worship. There's something that feels so wonderful about our love for one another today. Do you feel it out there? Do you feel a stirring in this place? Hallelujah. I feel it too today. I don't go by feeling. I walk by faith, but I can feel it when I walk by faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you just a few minutes about the blood atonement, things that you have probably heard, but you need to hear it anew and afresh sometimes. This is the most important part of the Christian faith, is Jesus and Him crucified. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus and Him crucified. Now, he taught so many principles of the kingdom of God, and yet it was all based on what Jesus did at Calvary. And he would say things. His spiritual development and the way God used him and the gifts that God had given him. And people looked at him as some super Christian, and he would be quick to tell them, by the grace of God, I am whatever I am. It's not because of something inherent in me. It's something he has done for me, and now he's doing through me. But it is not I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. Can you say amen? On Mars Hill, he spoke, and the power of God was so manifest that they said the gods have come down to us in the form of men. And he used that occasion to open his garment, show them his flesh, and say, don't give the glory to me. Give the glory to God. You don't know what you worship. We know what we worship. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You're worshiping man-made gods, and we worship the God that made man. What a difference it makes when you know who you're worshiping today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody in here has an enemy of your soul, and everybody in here has an ally. And the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father are in your corner as your allies. And the enemy of your soul is called the devil in the New Testament. It comes from a Greek word, diablos, and it means a maligner. In other words, he wants to find every fault in you and broadcast it to everybody that he can. He wants to tear you down. He wants to tear you up if he could. He desired to have you that he may sift you as the wheat. But Christ said, I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when he prays, he doesn't look for negative results. He said, not if you make it through this after I pray. No, he said, and when you're converted. When it happens, strengthen your brethren. Praise God. Amen. So something we need to get a hold of today is that difference that delineates between the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that shows us when we're wrong and the condemning finger of Satan that tries to disqualify us from following Jesus, from going on to discourage us and to defraud us of what is rightfully ours in Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12 tells us the story. It says, now is who? The accuser, the maligner. Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night. He doesn't relent. Remember the story of Job? How it begins? Angels are ascending and descending. You saw the story of Jacob's ladder. He said, I saw a ladder. It's the only way he could describe a corridor between heaven and earth. And angels are ascending and descending. And as the angels are ascending to God for orders and descending to carry them out, in our behalf, angels are ministering spirit sent to minister in behalf of those who are sanctified. That's you and me. Their only work on the earth is in our behalf. The Holy Spirit convinces of sin. He's the one that draws to Christ. They're the ones that encamp round about us to defend us and to deliver us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, angels were ascending and descending just like Jacob saw that. And there was an angel among them that was forbidden to come into the presence of God. Satan, who had been cast out of heaven, shows up in the corridor. And God let him come. He knew he was coming. He wasn't surprised by it. Amen. And he said, what are you doing here? He said, I came to talk to you about those people that you love so much, that you came into a love covenant with. He said, the only reason they love you back is because you bless them coming in and going out. He said, if you quit blessing them and let me at them, they'll turn on you. They don't love you for who you are, but only what you do for them. And God said, is that right? Have you considered my servant Job? Wow. What a testimony he had in the presence of God, and what trouble it brought to prove something to all of us today. When he said a perfect man, there's none perfect, there's none. Jesus wouldn't have had to go to the cross if anyone could arrive at sinless perfection. But in his heart attitude, he was perfect. Can you say amen? He loved God with all of his heart. And that's what he was looking for. He said, have you considered my servant Job a perfect man? I've heard hyper-faith preachers, and maybe I'll explain that to you sometime in teaching, but I've heard people that get out there and they imply if Job had just had their tapes. Amen? Oh, yeah, they imply the same thing about Paul. I heard a man that literally hundreds of thousands, not tens of thousands follow. Amen. And he said on national television, so I can quote him. You're free to quote anything I say. I'll back it up with scripture. But I heard him say, you know, Paul didn't have to suffer what he went through. He could have used his faith. In other words, if he'd have got my tapes, amen, he would have been fine. Well, you know something, this fella couldn't have followed Paul around the block. Amen. Because Paul went through persecutions and kept the faith and stayed in love with Jesus. And the greatest encouraging letters that were written to Christians were written when he was under house arrest, not knowing if he was going to be dead or alive in the morning. But he had victory in Jesus in all of those circumstances. He was not a whiner or complainer. And these guys that live in the lap of luxury, amen, they couldn't follow Paul down the street. When he said, follow me as I follow Christ, suffering is not part of their vocabulary for Jesus' sake, but it is for the true believer. Can you say amen? If we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. I don't mean suffer defeat or suffer Satan's attack to where he's breaking us apart. No, I'm talking about not letting the flesh rule. Praise God. He that suffered in the flesh, the Bible said, is ceased from sin, that he no more live his life to the will of the flesh, but to the will of God. Amen. I suffer in my flesh when I don't slap somebody that needs slapping. Amen. Flesh don't get its way. Oh, you've never wanted to slap nobody in your life since you've been saved. I'm sure that you never had to hold yourself back. Amen. Well, you just haven't met some of the folks I have met down through the years. Can you say amen? But I didn't do it. And back in the day, I could have done it. A little too old to do that kind of stuff anymore. But I wouldn't do it if I could do it, because I serve a different master. Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. There's an accuser of the brethren. Every Christian should reject absolute when he comes to accuse, particularly when he accuses us of sins that are past. I went to pray for a man, a precious friend of my dad's and myself, and I went to pray for him in the hospital, and he had a condition that he would die without God's intervention. And I had prayed and I had sought God, and I felt faith rising up in me to pray for him, for God to intervene. And when I went to pray for him, he began to go back, laying in bed with tubes in him, he began to go back and think about the sins of his past. And I said, brother, you can't do that. You must not do that. You're disqualifying yourself from God's blessing and God's help, because you're letting the enemy bring up to you the sins of your past. How many do have a past here? Amen. How many again were lost before you got saved? I want you to know something. The devil will never stop throwing that in your face. Amen. We should reject that, because what God has done for us through the blood of Jesus has canceled that sin debt. So complete and so wonderfully that the Bible said it was only fulfilled after the cross, that as it is written, saith the Lord, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west, and their sins will I remember no more. If God refuses to associate you with those sins anymore, then you quit thinking about it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Forgetting. I believe this is part of what Paul was talking about when he said, forgetting the things that are where? Behind. And reaching forth to what? The things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Forgetting all of that. It's gone forever. I want to read something. We'll all be involved in this. You'll see yourself here. Listen to it. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Oh, when I receive this communion today, I want every sin that is anything in me, I want it clean. I want it out of the way. Amen. The Bible said if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart. I'm not reading yet. And he knows everything. But if our hearts condemn us, not. We have confidence toward God. Can you say amen? If our hearts condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. That's why we can come boldly before the throne of what? Grace. grace to obtain what? Before any other need, grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. There's only one way to approach God. You can't win enough souls to merit coming into that holy place and that holy throne. You can't give enough in offering. You can't lay down your very life without loving Him. It means nothing. It amounts to nothing. There's one way to approach Him. One way. You come before a throne of what? Grace. You can't earn the right to come into that holy presence. It's unmerited favor. And mercy. Everybody say mercy. To receive grace and mercy and come boldly. Come with confidence that He's going to receive you. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for you at the cross. God receives you on that basis. Amen? So I want to show you where you stand today. And I want you to stand in your standing. Because no one here will ever be 100% perfect to where you have no room for improvement and you have no reason for repentance. Everyone in this room will have a time where there's something omitted or something committed. I'm not saying that sin reigns in you. The Bible said, let not sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. But you can't do anything with your flesh but put it on the cross. You got to deal with it. You can't get it pure. You can't get it clean. God says the only thing you can do is kill it. And kill it every single day. You know what Paul said? I sanctify myself daily. Every single day I set myself apart unto God. Amen. And when you miss it in attitude or action, God wants you to not get condemned and throw in the towel. I've seen people give up and quit because they failed somewhere and they felt like now God can't use them. God can't restore them. He can and He will. Amen. He can and He will. People may not. There are people that don't forgive anything. But God will forgive everything that is confessed from a sincere heart. There's no sin greater than His grace. In fact, He said, where sin doth abound, my grace much more abounds. Isn't that incredible? Instead of drawing back, He draws close and says, I want to save you. I want to deliver you. I want to set you free. And some of the greatest sinners make the greatest testifiers to what God can do through His grace and mercy when His power is released into our life. Can you say amen? We need that holy boldness to come before the throne of grace. To receive what? Grace and mercy to help in the time of any need. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is not debatable today. I'm not trying to get people to agree. I'm telling you what God's word says. You can take it. You can leave it. You can let it get in you and help you. Or you can walk out of here bound and burdened. But God came to give His Son so you and I could be free from condemnation and from fear. So this involves you and me. Let me read it because I'm preaching all around it. Know ye, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's something we need to get down inside of us because there's a lot of people preaching that they can. God says, you're wrong. You can't. Know this, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Let no man deceive you. If you live in sin without conviction and you do not repent, you're not going to heaven. And it doesn't matter who tells you you are. Can you say amen? Amen? Don't let a man deceive you. This is your soul. Get in the Word of God. Find out what God has to say about it. If you can commit fornication and never repent, there's a litmus test of your salvation. It's 1 John. It's this love, loving. This is this apostle of love. 1 John. He said, He that committeth sin, it means to live habitually in, is of the devil. Period. End of story. I heard a man the other day said, if you ever got saved, you went into a bar, and you're committing these sins. And this is what he's saying, that you can live in these sins, unconfessed, unconvicted, and you can't help but go to heaven. This says something different. I want you to know, he said, you can't keep doing this without repentance and get into heaven. There's no back door to heaven. Amen? Grace isn't a permission. It's not a permit to go out and live any way you want, live for the devil and like the devil. That's not what grace is for. Grace is for people, hallelujah, that have chosen darkness, chosen light over darkness, and Jesus over Satan, hallelujah, and righteousness over sin. Hallelujah. We all struggle with the flesh, and we struggle with sins, and temptations are everywhere. But I want you to know, if you've been born from above, there is a new bent within you, and it's a bent toward righteousness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can still sin, but it ain't fun anymore. No, you could be in the bar with everybody else, but you'll know deep down in your heart, you're out of your element. This is not where you belong. God has called you to something higher and something better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Know ye that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We can't live, and we got people that are leading churches today living in these sins. Whole church denominations embracing these sins. And God said, you can't get into heaven that way. And they say, you can. And the Bible said, let no man deceive you. Why? It's your soul and where it's going to spend eternity. You may walk out of here and say, I'll never listen to that preacher again. But you're going to meet this word at the judgment day. This is not about what the preacher is saying. This is what the Bible is saying. We're going to meet this. I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I'm not here to get rich off the gospel. I'd be doing something else if I wanted to get rich. But I'm here to please my King who sent me. And I realize that even Jesus didn't please everyone. And we've got this all-encompassing, all-consuming love gospel that says you don't have to get right or live right. And that's dead wrong. Can you say amen? For the grace of God that has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, we should live righteously and godly in this present world. Grace is not a permit to sin. It's a way out of sin when you do sin. I went to school with a man that was part of a circus family. His name was Hugo Zucchini, just like the plant, zucchini. He was part of his family. His daddy got shot out of a cannon. I mean, and he had other parts of his family, the flying zucchinis. And I keep picturing vegetables. I'm sorry. It's because he's here today, and it's his warped sense of humor is getting on me while I preach. No, we love you, brother. You know it's true. But anyway, we love you anyway. God is so good today. Thank you for coming today. Hugo Zucchini, to get attention at lunch, he would stick something up his... I don't know how... He could make his lunch come out his nose. Let's put it that way. He could get it from his throat through his nose, and he thought that was really cool. He thought the girls would think he was something special. And believe me, it was special in the wrong kind of way. Can you say that? But when his relatives were practicing on the trapeze, they were not practicing falling. They were practicing to where they wouldn't miss it. One would come over and the other would come over, and they would turn loose of the one, do a flip, and the other would catch them by the wrist. And the timing had to be perfect. And they worked at perfection. They worked at perfection. They were working at perfection. But underneath them, while they practiced, was a safety net. In case they missed it, there was a net to keep them from falling so that they could climb up and work at it again. You know what grace is today? It's a safety net. God has a safety net called grace, and it isn't to jump in every day. Amen. But if you miss it, it's to fall in so you are not destroyed. And you can climb back up, praise God. Amen. And go at it again and again and again. Well, how many times? How many times? Peter was wondering about this. He thought he would stretch the limit of grace. Amen. And he said, how many times must I forgive my brother if he asks me? Seven? I mean, that's really stretching it. And Jesus said, yea, and 70 times seven, if he asks. If he's sincere, there's no limit to forgiveness. That's how grace works. Can you say amen? If you put a limit on it, it's not the grace of God. And you're under the grace of God. And a lot of people give up on God and give up on themselves and go headlong back into sin. My son asked me one time, do you think God would hear my prayer? I said, listen, pray. You pray. You come before God. You pray. You pray. You pray. Your life has to change, but you need God's help for it to change. And you can't get God's help without asking for it. And he's waiting for that kind of prayer. So pray. Pray. Even if you're bound, pray. If you're backslidden, pray for God's help, because God wants to help you. Hallelujah. Amen. And when his help comes, amen, it's going to come because of grace and mercy. I want to define the two, because grace and mercy both have to come into play. In grace, you do get what you do not deserve. Unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, but you do get it. That's what grace is. Mercy is different. You don't get what you do deserve. Deserve judgment, but God is merciful and grant you grace. Can you say amen? We need both of them. We need God's grace and God's mercy. There's not a person in here that could go to heaven on merit. And if it wasn't for the mercies of God, Israel had sinned, not listened to the prophet. Amen. And Lamentations was written because of a message that was unheeded and a judgment that was in the land as a result of it. But God didn't aim to destroy them, amen, but to chasten them and purify them and bring them back and restore them. And Jeremiah said, I look and I see the unheeded message, and I see people now being under the chastening rod of God, being carried captive into Babylon, covenant people, that one of them should chase 1,000 and two of them could put 10,000 to flight when they were right with God. Can you say amen? And here they are defeated and captured and going into Babylonian captivity. And Jeremiah is looking at all of this. And he said, when I see this, my soul in Lamentations 3 is humbled. Again, the negative sense of that crushed within me. It hurts me to this day in the 21st century when I see people not giving heed to the word of God, living for Satan, living for self, living in sin. And I know where it's going to lead them. And my heart breaks into 1,000 pieces. But this, Jeremiah said, I recall to mind. This I recall to mind. Thy mercies are new every morning. We can get so frustrated and so aggravated, we almost want God to just go ahead and get them. But he said, no. No, God don't want to hurt them. God wants to heal them. God don't want to destroy them. God wants to restore them. Can you say amen? And every day when the sun comes up, his mercy is renewed toward them. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell the backslider, you can come home. There is a ring for your finger. There is a robe for your back. There are shoes for your feet. There is a ring for your finger. Woo! Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He didn't come to condemn the world. It's the condemnation that was already on the world. Amen. That he came to relieve that and release his mercy to all that would call upon him. This woman some years ago, Sandra, she lost a diamond earring. She ran through a hedge in her country to chase goats out of the backyard. Yeah. So if you're ever chasing goats out of your backyard and you got on your diamond earring, do not run through the hedge, right? Is that what we're saying today? And last Sunday, a bigger, better diamond earring got lost. And we prayed that she would find. Oh, I want you to tell this because he came to seek that which was lost. Tell about the diamond earring. Yes. And I want you to tell one more thing, how you found that first earring in the hedge. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yes, he does. Praise God. And why did you have her tell about the lost things that she found? Because she reached down in the muck. Yes. She just reached down and pulled it up. And when she wiped the dirt away, there it was. First reached down in the muck. All of this ground and hedge up to here, or grass up to here. And what is the chances of just that just happening? It don't just happen. God did. But see, he's a master of the lost and found. He is the master, hallelujah, of the lost and found. Jesus said, I think not that I've come. Yeah. Amen. In a store full of people, you don't keep missing a diamond earring. But God concealed it until she came to find it. Can you say amen? Jesus came down here, amen, to the dirt and the mire and the grime to find you and to find me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he reached down in the dirt of our sin and the grime of our selfishness. And he found us. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. And you wonder why I get excited. Because I once was lost, but now I'm found. I don't know what kind of religion you got, but I have a relationship with the lover of my soul. Hallelujah. Everybody that's backslidden needs to come home. God is waiting with grace upon grace. Mercy upon mercy. Can you say amen? Everybody that is hesitant and timid needs to come before the throne of grace with bold confidence in Jesus' blood that was shed for us. Amen. I'm not worthy. Some of you look at me like I'm worthy. I'm not worthy. I can't be worthy. I require grace and mercy to come into His presence. I am not a sinner. I'm not serving Satan, but I'm not sinlessly perfect either. I don't have license to sin. I have liberty to serve. Praise God. What shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For whoever you yield, Romans 6:16, whoever you yield your members servant to obey, his servant you are. Make no mistake about it. His servant you are whom you obey, whether God unto righteousness or sin unto death. Can you say amen? I am bought with a price. I gladly confess I am not my own. Hallelujah. The cross of Jesus means so much to me. Paul said, if I'm going to glory, if I'm going to boast in anything, out of all of his credentials and miracles and anointings and experiences with God, he said, there's only one thing that I can boast in. If I can boast, he used the word glory, which means to boast. I boast in this. In the cross of Jesus Christ, whereby I am crucified to this world, and this world is crucified to me. They'll never get it. They'll never understand you if you truly follow Jesus. But that's okay, because it's worth following Jesus instead of this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Know you that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators nor idolaters. By the way, covetousness is idolatry in the New Testament. It's not just the image. It's the heart attitude. Nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Let no man deceive you. Be not deceived. And such were some of you. Everybody say, some of us. I can see some things in here that address me. B.C., before Christ. Amen. But something has occurred in my heart and in my life. Are you sinlessly perfect? No. Are you bound by sin? Absolutely not. Do you have to sin? No. It's a choice now. Before, you had no choice. You were of your father, the devil, and the Bible said you didn't even have a choice. His works, in some form or fashion, you will do. But there's supposed to be a change. And if that change hasn't occurred, the Bible said you're not ready for heaven. Period. End of story. If you can live in sin, unconvicted, and never repent, you don't belong to God. And there are people in church practicing religion that are going to stand in His presence and say, Lord, Lord, we've done mighty works in Your name. And He said, depart from me, you that work iniquity, you that live in this sinful passion, unconvicted, unrepentant, and you're calling me Lord. He said, get away from me. I never knew you. They had a defense, and their religion was their defense. But they had no relationship with Him. Can you say amen? No relationship with Him. The Christian faith is not based on the practice of a religious system, but a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And a relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you say, man, I'm so glad I know Him. Hallelujah. I don't want to fail Him. I want to please Him. I may stub my toe. Brother Venable, are you going to pull some skeleton? No, there's no skeleton in the closet to pull out. But anybody ever got a bad attitude and kept it long enough for to feel bad about your bad attitude? Yes. I have. And I have to go before God and say, Lord, forgive me for that bad attitude. I've had a bad attitude most of the day. The Bible said don't let the sun go down on your wrath. How many have been mad all day? Yeah. Some people have been mad all month. Some people have been mad for 10 years. Can you say amen? Vance Havner must have had a lot of people like that. He said, if his congregation, I've seen happier faces on iodine bottles. And if you're old enough to remember, they had a skull and crossbones on them. But when Jesus comes to grant us grace and mercy, God wants all of that timid stuff, all of that, oh, I can't do it, I can't make it, I'm no good, I'm no count. He wants us to get rid of that attitude and come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy. That precedes anything that we need. That is always the basis whereby we can approach a holy God. And it's the only basis, and it's only through the blood of Jesus that grace and mercy is offered. That's why Jeremiah said, you know, it looks like it's hopeless. We are helpless and it's hopeless. But this I recall to mind. And we need to recall it in Holy Communion this morning. Thy mercies are new every morning. Great. Now, this is not a general statement about faithfulness. This is specific to grace. Great is thy faithfulness. To what? To give grace, to give mercy to those that deserve judgment, but instead you invite them, return to me, and I will return to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if I was a backslider this morning, I would front slide before this service is over. Praise God, because God said, if you'll come home, I'll restore everything the thief has stolen from you. Can you say, man, I got a message for the backslider. And it's not that God hates you and God doesn't love you. It's God loves you and wants to restore the years that the cankerworm, caterpillar, palmer worm, and grasshopper, that they've eaten from you. Hallelujah. I'll send you the former and the latter rain in one season. There's a man here with his hand up because God is restoring the years. Hallelujah to him. Amen. He had it. He lost it. But he's got it back. And it's because of God's grace and God's mercy. Hallelujah. I'm glad the devil didn't convince him to give up, to give over, and to give in. Such were some of you. But now it says, you are washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Woo! Remember the commercial? Remember the commercial that sold so much detergent? Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean. It made ball beautiful, didn't it? Can you say amen, Mr. Clean? Amen. He'll clean your whole house and everything that's in it. You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He told ancient Israel, come, let us reason together. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. Red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Can you say amen? If you hearken, you shall eat the good of the land. If you will come, I will bless you. I'll be able to bless you. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be destroyed by the sword. But if you come and reason with me, I'm willing to make an exchange with you. Confess your sin and I'll give you my blessing and my forgiveness. And that was under the old covenant. And the blood of Jesus speaks of better things. Oh, can we just for 2 minutes, can we compare blessings? Here's an old covenant blessing. Remember, the blood of Jesus, what? Speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. In the old covenant, David said, amen, bless the Lord, Psalm 103, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not his benefits. Number one, everybody say number one, who forgives all of thine iniquities. Who heals all of thy diseases. Can you say, man? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Who delivers thy soul from destruction. Can you say, man? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. And the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than that of bulls and goats, because now we can come into the very presence of God and call him Abba, Father. Amen. We can come and worship him. We can come and present our petitions before him. And we can come with confidence because of the blood of Jesus has made us pure enough to come into that presence. Wow. See, boldness comes by understanding that it's grace and mercy that allows you to come into his presence. Some of you will disqualify yourself right now because you've had a bad attitude all week and you say, I feel so unworthy. Well, just tell him, Lord, forgive me. You say, Brother Bimble, that's too simple. No, no, that's the way it is. It doesn't mean sin isn't serious. It means God is serious about forgiveness of sin. He don't want nothing holding you back. He wants you to forget what's behind. Get it behind through repentance and forget what's behind. And what? Reach forth to what's before. Because God has something in store for you. That's why there's a stirring in the atmosphere. Can you say, man, because God has something in store for this little congregation. God's not even done with me as old as I am. He's not done with me. Because what I got left, I told him the other night, I said, whatever I got left, I was feeling real tired and worn. And I said, whatever's left of me, it's yours. Hallelujah. Whatever I got to offer you, it's yours. The best of me will not be given to the world or to personal gain. The best of me is going to be given to you, and the rest of me will be given to Pamela. She's pretty happy with the rest of me if the best of me is given to God, because the rest of me is not all that bad, right? Say that again. No. All right. Someone from the Tampa Tribune is supposed to interview us Tuesday morning at our pastor's meeting. And one of the things we ask each other, did you do something special this week for your wife? I don't mean the ordinary. Did you do something extraordinary for your wife? And so I've been trying to be able to do things and say, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. She came in the other day and my hands were in dishwater. And she said, I'll get those. And normally, that's all I needed to hit for the remote control. Can you say, man, you can have them if you really want them. Be it far from me to withhold any joy from my dear wife. We did them together. I washed and she dried and put up. Amen. But that's something special. And I want to do something special for her. But I want to do something special for him too. Can you say amen? I love the Lord today. I'm a recipient of mercy and grace. And without it, I had no hope of going to heaven. But because of it, I know that I am saved today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know if I should fall, that there's hope for me and there's help for me. I don't want to fall. I've been preaching the gospel I've been preaching all total for 40 years, four decades of my life. Been pastor of the Holy Church of God in one form or another, whether it be in the big building or whether it be in the Embassy Suites meeting room at the University of South Florida, or whether it be here. I've been pastoring for 38 and three quarter years. Almost four decades of pastoring. Wow. I went to a pastor's meeting, had about 60 preachers in the audience, and I came up and they had a name up, I told you, and they got the name of their church wrong. It said the Most Holy Church of God. And I looked up there and I said, first I have to make a correction. It's not the Most Holy Church of God. We're just holy. That's pretty good in this generation. Can you say amen? We're working at Most Holy, but right now we're just happy to be holy. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy to be holy is a good thing. Praise God. And then I told them something else. I said, I've been a pastor for almost 40 years and it hasn't bothered me. But you know why I'm still in a pulpit? Because you're some kind of dynamic, special Christian. No, the grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Hugo Zucchini's backyard, his family that do the trapeze, the flying zucchinis. They're I keep seeing vegetables. I'm sorry. Amen. But they're veggie tales. I've watched one too many. But anyway, they're flying back and forth doing these flips and catching one another on the trapeze. And sure enough, there was a slip and there was a miss. And someone goes falling. All of these feet, and there's a safety net. They hit that net, it gives under them, lifts them up, and they climb right back up the ladder and go at it again. That's the Christian life, and that's the purpose of grace. They did not practice one time falling into the net. They did not intend to fall into the net. But if they missed it while trying to get it just right, they were so glad there was a net. Can you say amen? Aren't you glad there is a net today? Aren't you glad there is a net? God said, I'm going to call them to righteousness. I'm going to tell them to be holy as I am holy. But I'm going to put a net under them just in case. Because if they fail, if they fall, the net's going to catch them. And if they will acknowledge the grace that I'm offering them, they can get up and climb up and go on. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There are people here today that your religion is a burden. You're trying to convince people of your spirituality. I'm unconvinced until you have joy, until you have peace. Amen. Until you have joy and peace, until you can have a smile on your face on Sunday morning, there's something wrong between you and God, and you need to get it right. Because you're telling the world that Jesus can do these things, and they need to see it. I remember one morning coming to work. It was a Monday morning. Everybody else is hungover. And they're feeling bad and they're feeling sad. And where we worked at the last, it was really bad and sad. And I was unconscious of whistling. I came in whistling. I don't know what I was whistling. I just whistling and humming a tune. And on the other side of the locker, you know it's shift change. If you don't believe in the resurrection, be it our planet. Quitting time. People come alive. Amen. But anyway, quitting time. So there's people coming to work and people going home at the same time. The locker room is full of people. And on the other side of the locker on a Monday morning, I'm just whistling a tune. We had a great Sunday morning service. It was still fresh in me. Praise God. I still felt the goodness of God in my life. Amen. I wasn't hungover. Had the Holy Ghost croup. You know, from shouting and hollering and preaching. I call it the Holy Ghost croup because sometimes my voice would get like that. Amen. But anyway, I was happy on Monday. And you didn't have to do anything else but be happy on Monday. Happy is the man that has the Lord God of Jacob for his help. And somebody on the other side of the locker said, who is that over there so happy? Somebody else on the other side said, that must be the Rev. That must be the Rev. And they said something I keep trying to achieve over and over again. He's got that deep, settled peace within. They didn't have to look around the corner because they knew if somebody's happy on Monday, it's got to be that guy. And if he's happy, it's got to be because of something more than the condition of this planet or the condition of life in general. See, all of that party was over. All the guilt of sin is now weighing them down. And it's so good to walk in there and know that your sins are forgiven. And that Christ is with you. And that heaven is your home. Praise God. Hallelujah! And to still have the joy of your salvation. Such were some of you. Actually, if we be honest about it, of such was all of us. Some of these sins fit everybody in this room. I'm going to read this from the New International. We're going to receive communion. Do you not know that the wicked shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. That is not politically correct. God is not running for office. You don't get to vote on this. A holy God that created us and sent his son to save us has the right to set the standard. He will not change it to accommodate a fallen world and a sinful culture. Or a church that is leaving the scriptures and going astray. Does he love the sinner? Absolutely. Does he want to save them? Absolutely. He seeks and saves. A young lady involved in a lesbian lifestyle all of her life in her 20s, Charlotte, North Carolina, heard a radio broadcast that did not originate in Charlotte from a small station that normally doesn't reach Charlotte. But she heard a message from the station we were on Slaying Your Giants, had nothing to do with any of these sins. And she heard a message, said, I was sitting in a red light listening to a message on Slaying Your Giants. She said, this was the giant in my life. I wanted to follow Christ, but I knew this was offensive to him. This was a sin to him, but I couldn't change myself. But this giant, I heard a preacher say, and she wrote me the letter, God took those radio waves from that little station and he put wind to it. And he took those waves into Charlotte, North Carolina, to a lady sitting at a red light, pondering, how can I deliver myself? How can I change myself? And she suddenly realized, I don't have to change myself. All I have to do is trust Christ to change me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And she said, Pastor Venable, I prayed that God would save me. I came to him with all of my sins and hang-ups. And I said, Lord, I want to follow you. And she said, Pastor Venable, he changed me from the inside out and forgave all of my sin. Hallelujah. That's what he came to do. That's what he's so good at. Hallelujah. How many people here today have a past? How many are glad your past is past? How many are not ever going to look back at that past anymore? How many are going to forget that part of what's behind and reach forth? Oh yeah, she's so proper, I can't believe her past. But she's got one, amen? Don't get her started. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We just don't have the time. But God has saved her. She's been washed. She's been sanctified. And she's been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This man has a past. This man has a past. Amen. We're here not to look back at that past, but to look forward at what the Lord has for you and has for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why there's a stirring in the atmosphere, Jimmy. Because in this little church, we're past our past. We got a past. We got a history as a people. But it's in the past. Hallelujah. And we got a heart to go on with God. Amen. Can you play this, Apparatus? Would you please come? I think it's the silver one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We thank you today. This one, please. Right now, we're going to receive Holy Communion. We're going to celebrate, commemorate. We're going to remember that Jesus suffered and died so he could seek and save you, and seek and save me. And what he would love today to happen in this communion is that if you have lost the first love for him, that it be rekindled. And if you've never loved him with true deep devotion, that you would fall in love with him. Come to him and have your sins forgiven. Ask him right now to forgive your sin. Because this is a table of grace, and you are welcome, and you are called. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. Hide your earth. Thank you for saving you today. Loving back for loving you that much today. Hallelujah. Get ready to go on with him.
So let the first become the last. Let the poor
Christ. You don't know him as your Savior. I'm not asking about your church affiliation, your religiosity. I'm asking you a direct question. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Is there anyone here who doesn't know Jesus and you want to know him before this service is over today? Is there anyone here that is away from God? You've fallen away and you want to come home to your Father's house. Anybody in this room, you want to come back to your Father's house? Hallelujah. Before we receive communion, you could do that today if you choose to do that. You may have already done it in your heart. And if you have, that's all that he asks of you. Praise God. The same night he was betrayed, he took bread. And after he broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this, do it in remembrance of me." You may eat the bread. He picked up the cup. He lifted it up. And he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the sins of many. As often as you drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he come." We are saying publicly here today to anyone who would like to watch this happen that we are saved because of the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You may drink the cup. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're so wonderful. We love you so very much today. Hallelujah. 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 You got it in ready. All right. How many feel like we should just give him a praise before we leave here today? Hey, man, just give him a praise. Just give him a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet and let's lift him up today? He's everything to me. There's no one in my life more important than Jesus. I love my wife. I'd lay down my life for her, but I love him enough to lay down my life for him first. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What a joy it is to live it out to the last drop, serving my great Savior and my great King. Let's lift him up today. If you have to leave, you may. Thank you for our visitors from way up north in North Florida. Can you say amen? We got northerners here today. Praise God. We're glad you came to visit with us today. We're welcome all the time and any time that you can. Praise the Lord. Are you near Madison? We're on radio in Madison, in the panhandle. You're further. You're way off. God would have to send the wind to get that station over to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you today. We honor you, and we give you glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, this is one of those tricky ones that only Doug knows how to do. Amen. Hallelujah. But we love you, Lord, so much. We just want to praise you. We'll try this and see if it works. Amen. Because that one is, we may just have to sing a hymn for him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Doug had to leave early. Now, don't miss your water till your well runs dry. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just try that. Maybe that will come straight through without having to go to the secondary place. I'm glad to be your pastor today. So this is one time I'm glad to be a pastor, and you're not driving me crazy. Praise God. Not too crazy anyway. Amen.
I love you, Jesus.
Let's love the Lord before we go home today. It's all about him. You can leave reverently. Thank you for coming. We just sing and end with a song. Let's sing it together. Jesus.
Holy and anointed one.
Holy and anointed one. Jesus. Exalted One, Jesus, your name is like honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul, your word is a lamp unto my feet, Jesus, I love you. Like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Risen and exalted one.
I love you, Lord.
Just a little more volume.
Your name. Your name is like honey
on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp.
Jesus, I love you.
Let's just give him a wave offering before we do this.
I love you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can you say it with
Thank
me right
you,
now?
Jesus.
Come on, say it with me.
Jesus. Jesus.
Come on, say it again.
Jesus.
Power in his hand. Come on.
Jesus.
Come on, lift him up.
Jesus.
I love you, Lord.
Somebody just got caught in that safety net today. Jesus. Climbing back up. Hallelujah. Jesus. I love your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something they won't tell you on radio or television these days. I'll speak it to you out of the book of Nehemiah. When they repented, got right with God, he said, quit hanging your head, go and eat the fat and drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a five guys right down here with all of that available to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
God said that he has called this church for a purpose. He has called you to prepare them, that when he shakes this nation, there's going to be people running to and fro, and they're going to find you, and you're going to be a lighthouse to them. And he says not to be afraid to step out to prepare for that, and to prepare your people to meet their needs, because he's preparing you, and he's brought people specifically. He's handpicked, that's what he's saying, he's handpicked them to come and be with you and be beside you and your wife. And he says that he's going to bless this church, but that he's purposed it for this time, and in this time,
yes.
The end time,
yes.
When he shakes the nation and people don't know where to go, they're going to run here, and that you need to prepare to be able to minister to them.
Thank you. I receive it. That's confirmation. I believe that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Not because it was positive to us, but because we've been feeling a stirring. God didn't send us here to languish, nor to stagnate, amen, or to come to a stalemate spiritually. He sent us here. Handpicked people are in this room. We are in the kingdom for a time such as this. God is going to continue to shake America, and people are going to quit listening to the phony baloney one of these days. Jeremiah was pulled. When he first came with a message of repentance to the nation, they called him unpatriotic, slapped his face, threw him in a dungeon in the ground. He sunk up in the mire, fed him with the bread of affliction. But when the shaking got bad in that nation, and God's blessing was no longer upon them, and their enemies were closing in on them, they said, is he still alive? Can you say amen? And if he is, pull him out and bring him here. And when they brought him into the presence of the leaders of Israel, they said, is there any word from the Lord? We don't want false prophets. We don't want phony messages. We want to hear what God has to say so that we can have his blessing back again and his deliverance. Hallelujah. And if anybody comes here, you know they're going to hear a word from the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is good. And we're going to stay the course and preach the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Shake somebody's hand and say, God's blessings are coming upon this place. Would you do that? God's blessings are coming upon this place. I believe it. He's purging us so he can. Hallelujah.
Go get the cutting women. Yes.
Excuse me a minute. Testing, 1, 2, 3. I just want to say to all the congregation, maybe you guys didn't hear me from the beginning when I mentioned
that. Just a moment.
Just maybe some of you guys didn't hear me when I said this morning to take up a love offer for Pastor Brennan for the things that he's doing for the church, because he doesn't get paid once a week. He only gets paid once a month. First week of the first Sunday of the month. And if you guys can please thank him what he's doing for you, especially the true word of God, the staying faithful. You know, because some of us, we don't get this for one time a week. But when he does bring it, he brings the word of God to us, to our heart. So if this word is actually touching your heart, please just give freely to him. Because he's worth more than what we're giving to him. And, I mean, this church is great. You guys, I'm going to speak for myself. God has truly been blessing me. I mean, I've been working on my job for 22 years. I've been going to this church for about 20 years, and I never, ever missed a payment on one of my bills. I've never been late for my bill because I've been faithful. And I mentioned this morning, if you're faithful over few, God will make you rule over many. But it starts with being faithful from the heart. And I can't say no more because you can't be no better. And I'm gonna start it off. I mean, whether you guys want to give or not, it's up to you. I don't want to make it seem like I'm begging you to give, but I'm doing it because the way Pastor Venable bring the word to us. I mean, each and every Sunday from the word of God, it almost be like you went to work for free and done all that work and you didn't get anything for it. I mean, I can't make no better analogy than that. I mean. So I'm gonna be the one to start it off. I just want to thank the Lord for what Pastor Venable had done in my life, and I never even talked to him about it. And this is true, coming from the Word of God. What he preached about, I go through it in the Scripture. Me and my wife, we read Scripture every day of the week, and this is why I praise God, because it'd be in me before I even get here. And if you're wondering why you're not getting certain things, because we're not getting in the Scripture and preparing our heart before we get here. And I just want to thank him for him being like that. And I go back home and I check the word out. I write little notes down and say, this is what he's talking about. And I go and find that in the Scripture. This is how we grow as individuals, and the congregation will grow. And we can be a blessing to others. So I'm gonna bless Pastor Venable again.
Thank you for that. Amen. And we're gonna hide our face, and we're going to thank you because you're good people, and we thank you so very much. Amen. God bless you for being a blessing today. And now, amen, go and eat the fat and drink the sweet, for the joy of the Lord is certainly your strength today. Hallelujah. We love you. We appreciate you. Amen.